Happy Monday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and I'm not sure why I cut this on, because I'm not ready to talk yet. I am not ready to talk. I just put it on to be putting it on. And I said, Happy Monday. Many of you may say, well, today's Tuesday. And then others of you may say, oh, yeah, you're right. Martin Luther King's birthday. Yesterday was a holiday. Funk weekend. Vegas. Anaheim on Thursday. Got back home yesterday. I think. No, got back home the day before yesterday. Mr. Skill has slapped me around. Mr. Skill slapped me around good. And deservedly so. I got on the scale last night. .216. Ladies and gentlemen, I was at 199. .200. Maybe 2 weeks ago, a week ago. But I know it'll fall off. I woke up this morning. It was 213. Basically, before I could do anything today, I had to have a morning constitutional, which was epic. My morning constitutional was so epic, I took a picture of it. So I know a lot of that 213, 217 number. It's going to fall off, but it is still an indicator of wrongdoings. So, it's a sunshiny day today. I should have got up and rode the bike. I don't think I'm ready for that yet. I've been out of it. I've really been out of my routine and regimen for a few weeks now. You know, I've been getting it in, you know, here and there. Keeping myself accountable, but not really, you know, breaking it down and getting on it like I should. Or not like I should. Should, what should I do? Should I say like I want to? Because I shouldn't have to do nothing. I shouldn't have to do nothing. Is that a fair statement? Or accurate, no one shouldn't have to do anything. I don't know. Shouldn't, should not have to, should not have to. Anyway, so that's why I'm here. And I got my eggs cooking, sausage cooking, breakfast stuff for the week. I Instacarted food. Sunday when I got here. I think I got back Sunday morning. Yeah, this Vegas trip was good. The band was good. The band is good. The band is just playing very good music right now. And they opened with Cosmic Slop. I mean, they opened with The Clones of Dr. Funkenstein. And I went crazy. First, I get there. You know, first, you know, I don't even want to go into it. I don't want to go into it right now. But first I get there, I get there at 4. Like an hour after check-in time, I get there at 4. The line to check in was like over an hour long. It looked like it was over an hour and a half, 2 hours long. And the express checkout didn't work. And the line to check in was just too long. And I got there like 4 or something. Doors was going to open up at 7 or whatever, however that was going to work. And I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, well. So I just checked my stuff in the bell desk. And went on about, grabbed the clothes out of it that I wanted and stuff. And just went on about my business. Went to the sports book and found a pizza place. Damn good pizza, too. It was damn good pizza. It was this kind of style of pizza where it was like thin crust, but it wasn't a crunchy thin crust. And you could taste all the individual elements of the pizza. You could taste like the the meat. I got meat lovers. You can taste the different meats, the sauces, the cheese. You like, it was like, it wasn't gooey, like a deep dish. It came out like maybe like a casserole. You could actually taste the individual elements of the pizza. And it was so good. I ate half of it. And then I took the other half back to the Bell, and they lost it. The guy probably didn't understand that I wanted the pizza to go back, because I pulled one of my items, and I grabbed something out of it, and I put it back, and I guess he took that back. And he didn't realize that I wanted the pizza to go in there, too, even though I thought I said something about it. But it was gone. It was good. I wanted it. So I ate that pizza, sit there, watch Sportsbook, and then just end up walking over to the venue. Paid a lot of money to stay in this hotel. And the thing is, the Four Queens used to be my go-to downtown. I mean, $60, $70 go-to a night. And they even want a couple hundred dollars now. So, and I ended up paying a couple hundred dollars to stay at this Westgate place. You know, you look at the Westgate Resort, you look at the brochure and stuff. I mean, it's nice. It looks nice, and it is nice. You get there's a lot going on. It's one of those kind of places where you can actually just stay there and not really have to go anywhere. And they had a monorail there. They had a monorail there too, so you could get on the monorail and go up the strip. Right from you know, at the hotel. I say all that to say that I believe I paid 3-star prices for a 2-star hotel. Hell, maybe even, well, I wouldn't quite go 4-star prices. I feel like I paid 3-star prices for a 2-star hotel. Maybe 3.5-star. And that may be the case across Vegas. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, even though I have no evidence to base any kind of argument on that on. Air fryer going. I don't know if you can hear it. Got air fryer. Got my sausage, my links, my Italian sausages going. Grits and boiled eggs. It's 10:51. I got to punch in at noon. I need to recover from this past weekend of indulgences and just pure musical P-funk bliss. So I get there, it's like 1.5 hours to check in. So I'm like, oh boy, or whatever. You know, so I just have to just do my stuff and then check in after the show. So I just put myself at the Bell desk. You know, went back there a couple times, changed clothes, put on some clothes, and got my batteries and my cords, and went and did my thing. Went to the show. Get there. Ran into some folks. It was like one of those venues, you know, with the seating and the carpet, the International Room. Barry Manilow plays there. So, you know, it's one of those elegant kind of places. It's usually too dark, and seats, and acoustics make it seem really quiet and muffled, and, you know, big stage. Kind of like the opposite of what the House of Blues kind of feel is, with the general admission and just the way it's built and the sound. But one thing about this, the stage, we could walk right up to the stage. So I will say that, though, even though there was seats, you know, and the guys at the other end telling you, you know, you can't walk up on the stage or whatever. And I guess I realize what they're doing is they're protecting the artists. They don't want random fans able to reach out and grab the artist. And that's probably what they were doing. They probably saw me, you know, big black dude just feeling it, you know, going crazy. You know, just filling the whole place. And I was dancing with the whole building. I think it was Vegas. I think it was Vegas, one of those places. Just dancing with the whole building, looking across the, I think it might have been the House of Blues. Looking across the venue and just seeing people getting in, just grooving. It was just good, so much. I'm not ready to talk about it at all. It's just so good. Let's just say the band is really good. Everything is hidden. Mr. Clinton, oh my God. I will tell this story though. I'm sitting, okay, so first of all, they open up with Dr. Funkenstein. I go crazy. And I'm going crazy knowing that they knew I was gonna go crazy. And I went crazy. Sitting there front row. Okay, before that, I get there, I'm talking to Alan Waters and his wife. We just chopping it up, because I think the first time we met was in Vegas a few years ago. And they're from like Arkansas. So I'm just chopping up with them. And then some other people that I was talking to, they was having like this big discussion over there, because I left the one discussion because, you know, it was just too much. It was just, I just needed some autonomy. So I don't know why I need to tell. I just walked away from one. I'm just whatever I want, wherever I go. So I just walked away from one and started talking to somebody else. Then they come running over to me. Hey, we got an idea. We got a proposition for you. I was like, okay, whatever. And Gerald ran by. I was out there talking to his wife, him and his wife before the show. So he comes running by. He said, yeah, they give you a hell of a seat proposition. I was like, okay, whatever. And they told me, I was like at seat 37 of 38. They're like, hey, we're going to move so we can all sit together. If you don't mind, if you want to sit here in seat 34, closer to the middle. So basically, I ended up just about the front row center. Pretty much, just damn near, like just front row center, just like right there. And it was just cool people there. Just talking to folks in the front row, just having a good time. You know, and so they went with Dr. Funkenstein. And I'm like, by that time, I'm over the top, I'm over the roof. I was so excited, I could barely get my dog on camera fast enough to start recording. So I got that going. And the first thing I have to admit, when they opened with Dr. Funkenstein, I have to admit, first person I thought of was Ole Niro. And I was like, nigga, they opened up with Funkenstein. Who's the number one funketeer in the world? And it's not so much that I think I'm the number one funketeer in the world. And even if I do or if I don't, it doesn't matter. And what I always like to say is, I may be number one. I may be the number one P-funketeer in the world, but I'm not the only one. And I have to remember that, because there's so many stories that I hear, even at these shows when I ask people, you know, some people see in their first show, it's their first show, but they still have a story. And it compares, whatever compares means in this. Their story compares to mine. Their first show versus my 200th show. You know, there's something there that has to be recognized, if not respected. And I do respect it, because we all have a story. So, as far as that goes, it's not so much, you know, I missed that, there, been here, been there, done that, you know, but seen them here, seen them there. It was the fact that I was there when they opened up with Dr. Funkenstein. That moment, to have that moment, to be there, to say, I was there. I was there when it happened. I think about all the Funketeers who got to see the mothership land at the Coliseum, and somebody else was telling me about that again. At this show. Of course, I forget where I was, but I guess I was in the place. And they played Dr. Funkenstein. You know, I was thinking, you know, I brag this, I brag that, I've been here, been there. But to be there when they opened up, at that moment, when they opened up playing Dr. Funkenstein, that to me, I took that personally for whatever reason. For whatever reason, I took it personally because I was there at that moment. I was there, y'all. I was there, all the LA Maggots and all the people. I was there when that happened, when that moment happened. I mean, there were other people there too, I think. I might have been the only real one. I think I might have been the only person. Well, Alan Waters was there. I can't think of anybody else. Who else was there in Vegas? I think Richard Lindsay was there. I think I saw him there. I can't remember who I saw and who I didn't. But to have him come out like that, for the band to be playing such good music right now, and for them to come out opening with Dr. Funkenstein on what quote unquote supposed to be a farewell tour. So now they playing better music than they ever have ever during the farewell tour. And did I say better music ever? Did I say that? I'm not going to go into that right now. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not going to go into that right now, because here's my thinking. This core group has been playing this music for 15, maybe 15, 20 years for a certain a block of time. I wonder, my question was, has this group of musicians played the P-Funk music longer than any other group? It's like an offensive line. You say, yeah, this offensive line has played together for 4 years. And there's a benefit to that. There's something, you know, for a team to play together for so long, there's benefits to that. It's going to be, you know, things that they're going to learn to do better, whatever. You know what I mean? So this band, this configuration has been playing the music for how long now? I think that this configuration or whatever, it's probably played the music longer than any other. And regardless of, I don't want to use the word talent, but regardless of ability or talent, having that much time to practice, I'm thinking it's going to level anybody's playing field. If I got 15 years to practice the music, where I'm touring like 300 nights a week playing it, and with the people who play it, and we get to talk about it all the time, and just be around it, and the whole focus of it for that much of time, it's almost natural for the people doing it to, quote unquote, improve, or to play it better, or to play it differently, or to, you know, put stuff on it, because just the attention to it, the attentiveness to it for so long, and let alone, you know, you got Mr. Clinton overseeing it. And if he's the genius and the mastermind that he seems to be, the music, you know, there's certain elements missing from us. See, I don't want to go down this road, but there's certain major elements missing, obviously, from the band. They're going to say, oh, Scheider's not there. They're going to say Gary Scheider's not there. They're going to say Bootsy's not there. They're going to say Bernie's not there. They're going to say Junie's not there. They're going to say Billy Bass. They're going to just go down the line and say all this stuff. And it's probably not healthy to compare eras. But have I ever done anything because it was unhealthy? Have I ever not done anything because it was unhealthy? Especially when it comes to philosophy and communication. Okay, so I said that. So I was there when they played Dr. Funkenstein, and that felt like a special moment. That was a special moment for me. Just say I was there. And just like, just the way they play the music, it's just the whole thing. I will say this too. I think they opened up with Funkadelic-y or something, and it sounded like it was a track. Now, I could be wrong, and I don't mind being wrong, but it kind of started off like, I don't know if I'm getting confused, but it sounded like it started off like Pole Power. Like, I don't know. I'm just saying, I heard that. Because I know Mr. Benzel Baltimore Cowan has like a little electronic kit on his stuff. So some of the noises that I was hearing may or may not be organic, if I can say that. But I will also say this too. I was looking at it, and I think I was hearing a ride, like if that's called a ride. And I was looking, I was trying to see if he was playing that, or was that just part of something he got going on back there, or was it in the hi-hat or the low hat? I don't know. I was just looking to see what's being played and what's not. And You know, I'm just throwing that out there because it's a free country. So at our high festival, that's like, it started off kind of like Popeye style. Like, So they played that, right? They played Duck Bunkers. And I'm just, by then I'm like, that's it. And I was sitting there talking. I said, see, and I had that. I was there when they opened up with Dr. Funkenstein in Vegas. I can say I had that. And if, I even think when I was in Vegas, people was telling me, when was the last time you seen him? Oh, I saw him and blah, blah, blah. Somebody else was at one of the Funk Fest. Everywhere I go, somebody was at that damn Funk Fest. Well, I had Motor Beauty Affair. I saw the Motor Beauty Affair show. And the girl said, one lady, somebody, one of these shows says they saw that one too. And I saw him when they opened up Dr. Funkenstein. You know, everybody wants to have their I saw. But anyway. So after that, you know, we get in the band is just... Mr. Clinton seems to be in good spirits. And the band, it just seems to be good. And I'm going to say this. I talked to a band member whose name shall remain unmentioned. And I don't want to reveal my source. But... Okay, let me just say this too. If I say band member, does that include 3GP? I just want to say that. I'm just asking the question. If I say band member, does that include 3GP? That's all I'm saying. But I was talking to a band member. I don't want to, you know, get nobody in trouble or nothing. But they said, they mentioned something about, yeah, with rehearsals. I was like, what? I was like, with what? I was like, you mean rehearsals? Those rehea? And I would say that would kind of support what I've said the last few shows that it seems like the whole ship has just risen. It's like the whole demeanor or the whole approach or the whole everything just changed. Like the whole mindset, it's just like the whole thing, and it didn't just suddenly just change. It's been gradual, as I look back. It's been gradual. As certain pieces come, certain pieces go, and certain things settle into this, and certain things settle into that. Over the years, I can see how it got to this configuration, and I can kind of see how the parts came into play and how they evolved into play. Like doing little things and being here and being there, you know, and how the stage show was either choreographed or put together or how it came together. I'm not sure. But you can see this, you know, you see things going on that were orchestrated that just, you know, you just don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to do this. You can see things that were put in place. But so after they did that and they came out, Mr. Clinton goes towards the audience during Up for the Downstroke. I'm like, whoa, they into it. I look over, he in the audience. He coming down the front row. And then as I'm thinking about it, you know, because I'm in such a good place and I'm just so relaxed, he coming down on my side of the stage. I didn't even see it as a threat at the time. He coming on my side of the stage. Okay, old man. And he came down there when I had a crew with me. And none of these people, I didn't know none of these people. This black girl was getting it. She wasn't even supposed to be there, too. She just kind of snuck to the front. But she was getting it and doing it so good that nobody said nothing. We was like, you keep going. Because she was getting it. She was on beat. She knew the words. So I had no problem with her standing right there where she was. And we was getting it. And then on the other side of me, it was a white lady from Portland. She said she saw him at the Crystal Ballroom years ago, and I think I saw him there too. She was telling me about, you know, all this and that, and she was getting it on beat. So I had some people in front of me. You know, we was ready on our side of the stage. He came down there with the mic, and we, you know, he was getting it, that old man. He was getting it, and we was getting it with him. And the black girl started dancing with him. They started doing that little, you know, doing their little doggy dance or whatever, doing an up or a down stroke. And they stand like right there, just everything was right there. You know, I was participating right in the middle of it, like I like to be. And so he goes around and just the energy is good. I'm just so You know, they open with Dr. Funkenstein. Mr. Clinton is just into it. He's pushing the crowd. Things are just going well. And then I was like, uh-oh. Somebody help that old man back up on stage. You can hear me actually say that thing. Because I knew he was going to have to roll over and do all this and all that. And at first, I didn't want to record it. That's because I'm getting soft. I didn't want to record it. But then I'm like, you know, you ain't going to pass this up. So I recorded it. And he had to roll over. Just like I said, you got to roll over. And you got to, like, roll over your belly, whatever. And so this old man laid on his back on the stage with his feet in the air, kicking his feet in the air. I looked at that. When I was recording it, I looked at this old man on his back, on stage, kicking his feet in the air. And you know what I thought? I'm going to tell you what I thought. First thing that came to my mind was, I'm a genius. I am a genius. That's the first reaction I had. It made me so happy and so proud to think that when I heard that first damn note from Mothership Connection, 50 years ago, I made a choice. And I studied it. And I researched it. And remember, this is back before the internet. So it wasn't no Googling nothing. You couldn't even go to the store or even to the library or anything and pick up a few magazines to find out what this Parliament Funkadelic thing was about. I had to get it from people around me. And just osmosis, kind of. Just trying to figure out what it was. You know, who's behind this? What's this about? You know, before I got behind it. And I finally got behind it. Well, I eventually got behind it 100%. Basically, you could basically, just to put it in short words, dedicated my life to this. Where it became my philosophical direction or whatever you want to call it. And then to see it 50, 60 years later, I picked it. I picked this group. See, everything is about self, if you ask me. Everything is about self. And the greatest thing is for a person to become the person that they really wanted to be. So I'm sitting here watching this man kick his feet in the air. 80 years old, 50 years past when I first jumped on this mothership. And we still doing it. I thought, Jeffrey, you are a genius. You made the right decision. That's the first thing that came to my mind, because everything is about self. You know, Mr. Clinton is a genius. The music is magical. Whatever they did, however they did it, however they pull it off, they created something that goes beyond, you know, beyond, I don't know what the word is, beyond regular human capability. I don't know what the word is, but you know what I'm saying. Whatever the word, it's just that thing. That thing, that Parliament Funkadelic thing, that music, the lyrics, the on the one, whatever that was they created. You know, it's still going. And I'm like, this is who I chose to be behind. This is what I chose to follow. You know, this is the thing that resonates with me. And I'm sitting there looking at this. After they done open with Dr. Funkenstein, I'm in Vegas. Front row, just had eating a half a pizza, just feeling good, you know, knowing I didn't have to work the next day, next 2 days, I was just in the zone, and seeing him kicking his feet in the air, I said, Jeffrey, you are a genius, you picked them, 50, 60 years later, you still ride them, and they still giving it back to you. They still there giving it to you. That thing is still there supplying your passion. One of your greatest passions. You picked it. You saw it. You evaluated it. You stood behind it. And what else, what more can you ask for than to see him on his back with his feet kicking in the air after just giving it to give that much, what I'm saying, to still have the dedication. And to give it to the audience, to still perform, to just still do that. I picked this group. I don't care how great they are. They did all the work. I did nothing but pick them. But this is all about self. So I chose them. This was my decision. I didn't choose Fatback Band. I didn't choose Brick. I didn't choose War or anybody else, you know. I didn't choose One Way or Slave. I chose Parliament Funkadelic. And it was just to see him just give so much. Just to see that man just give so much and then have the band behind him doing what they were doing. I mean, things was just kicking in. It was just, I mean, it's just, other stuff was just happening that I saw that I can't probably remember right now. But it's just, I mean, I'm on my way there. I'm making a video in Barstow Station talking about funk or whatever. Mothership Connection comes on Sirius XM. I drive there, you know, I get there. And then the Westgate, I mean, let me go back to the Westgate. I had a bad experience with the hotel. I just left it at that. I paid too much money and the experience wasn't up to what I thought it should be. And maybe Vegas has just changed. You know, maybe now, you know, you got to go 4-star. Maybe you got to really spend some money to get the accommodation that I'm used to. But I just said it didn't work. TV didn't work. No, TV worked, but it was like something nasty on the remote. I was like, forget use the TV. This didn't work. I just said, forget it. It don't matter. I'm just going to do whatever I can do. I'm going to get out of here. I'll never come back. You know, but that damn pizza was good. Sportsbook and the pizza was good. That pizza was really good. It was expensive, but it was really good. Because it wasn't like, you know, all the ingredients weren't like run together in a bite. You could actually taste different tastes and textures on a single bite. But the show was good. The show was good. And I was thinking too that the venue, the type of venue it was, it has to be a different name for it. Like the House of Blues General Mission might be called a club. The other one might be called a venue sitting out on this. Probably technical. I'm sure there's a technical thing. But when you get into that kind of venue where, you know, there's seats and it's dark and acoustics, kind of like a place where Stevie Wonder should play. I keep thinking that because of the excellent and audio quality. When I saw him, it was just on a level. It was just amazingly. And I was thinking that venue, Blue Eye Extension's music sounded, quote unquote, better in that setting. It kind of mixed it together and gave a different kind of feel with the kind of rock, kind of, I don't know, funk, rock, groove, whatever that, I don't know what to call that. But it seemed like it gave that music a different texture, that kind of venue. It gave it a different texture, like a warmth to it, I won't say reverb, but I don't know what the word is, but it gave it a different feel. And I was like, oh, this is more. And I was able to sit down. That's another thing. I was able to be in that thing and sit down during their set. So it came off. I experienced it differently. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, some music is probably made for sitting down and chilling and different vibes and different ambiances. And so when they played, I was like, oh, this is, you know, it made it quote unquote better, whatever better means. I guess it might have been the moment where I took it in. So when P-Funk came out there and I saw how spread apart the stage was and the monitors and the acoustics in the place, as opposed to the House of Blues where it was kind of compact and the way the acoustic was, you could just about, it's like you're on top of everything or whatever. And it's not muffled or whatever, dampened or whatever the word is. And I was wondering how P-Funk would play, and it was different. And you could hear a little bit of, you know, it wasn't as quote unquote tight as the House of Blues was, I think, where they can just really hear each other, whatever. And then the vocals at the House of Blues was just like, never heard vocals that clear in years, I don't think. It's probably so clear, it's probably wasn't supposed to be that clear. It was so clear that you think that they don't want it to be that clear, because I've never heard it that clear before, something like that. I'm over exaggerating because I'm feeling good. I'm starting to wake up. 11:22. I've been on this damn thing for how long now? I don't know, but I got to keep going. I don't deserve to get off. I need to keep doing this forever. I don't deserve to get off after what I did. So that's my take on the whole thing. Just to see that man and that band still doing it after all these years. I picked them. I chose them. One of the videos I posted, it was during Knee Deep. at the House of Blues. It was killer show. Killer, killer. Killer band is just killing them. It's just, I don't know what they're doing or why they're doing it, but they just killing. And they got, I saw some more dates. They're going to be playing the casinos. They're going to be playing Cabazon or Chumash. And I thought Chumash was close. Chumash is 300 miles away, but I'm going to have to go there. They play on the 2nd and 3rd of March or something like the 3rd and 4th. They're going to play in Morongo, then they're going to play in Chumash, and I got like front row seats on the side. Man. These casinos, sometimes the way they police them is no fun. The way they police them, sometimes it's no fun. But, you know, I seem to do pretty good. But so, I forget what I was going to say. Yeah, so we got, you know, they're touring. The band is doing good. It's just good to be a part of it. I forget what I was going to say. It's just good to be a part of it. Anaheim show, House of Blues. It was good. It was really, really, really good. What was I saying? I was going to say something. I forgot. I was going to say something. Oh, yeah. During the video, a video I posted at the House of Blues show. You know, they was playing today. Playing knee deep. You can hear me on the video. And I cut the clip out. You can hear in the video, I go, it's too slow. It's too slow. You hear me? Sometimes I listen to, I hear myself on the stuff I record. I'll be going crazy. I don't be remembering myself being that animated. I know I'm free and I'm just doing whatever I want. That's one thing I love about the position I'm in and wherever I'm at right now is that I feel like I could be completely free. You know, it's like, I'm just like, whatever I want to do, whatever I want to say, whatever expression, you know, I feel like I can express that, just be that and feel that and be in the moment. So I'm just talking and I was like, oh, it's too slow. And I said, I'm going to tell them to speed it up. I was talking to Oli. I was like, Oli, it's too slow. I'm going to tell them to speed it up. And as soon as I say that, you hear Mr. Clinton go, don't slow down. Don't slow down. I was like, yeah. That's my music. It's ego munching. That's me. I don't know what ego munching is. I don't know what ego munching means, but, you know, it's a certain saying, but that's my ego right there. And that's things that, you know, happen to me and my ego and make me think, ooh, like when I tried on them size 36 pants along with these medium shirts I got, medium size shirts. They was a little tight. But shoot, I feel good. I felt like I look good and feel good in them. And there's a little bit of belly bulge around here that I might need to work on. And probably it may even fix itself after this weekend, after I get myself together during this week and next week, you know, apply some restraint, act like I got some sense. But it was good. It's just good. The band is playing just really good music right now. Like the whole thing is came up, and then when the band member told me, or one of the people, I don't want to say, it's a band member, it's like breaks it down. And I don't want to, you know, have them reveal such, you know, I don't want to blow my source for such crucial information. Rehearsals, people. Parliament Funkadelic, rehearsals? Rehearsals? Yes, kid, you hear. And I could have swore I heard Mr. Curry doing a little something extra on the bass. I could have swore I heard an effect, a little bit of effect, not too much, which is the way it should be if you ask me. But I was hearing a little bit of an effect. I was like, oh, okay, so everybody trying to do a little something, something, something. You know, it seems like the whole crew, it was just... It's just good. It's just good to be out there. Hear my music, hear the music that I chose so many years ago. And see, it's like you choose. I choose the music, and this is all personal. This is all about Jeffrey. I chose the music, and it's still being produced. It's still being made. The people are still creating it. It's still viable. It's still live. It's still active. Everybody ain't that. And everybody ain't that to a point. And some of them who are still active, are they really active? I mean, is what they doing really, you know, how they should be doing it? And it's just not like a nostalgia show, you know, just to, so you can say, oh, I saw Cameo one last time. And I don't know why I said Cameo, even though I do, because the condition of Larry Blackman is obviously just pushing him out there to get the money. And I ain't mad at that. You know, and the show is a show. You got all these other different groups who split up and just kind of, you know, they tour under the name. But is it really, you know, the show? And then the people who go see them, you know, they probably go see shows maybe once or twice a year. So they going to be, oh, they play Slide and, oh, they play Word Up. It was the bomb. You know, when they... And then these bands could actually come out and play to a track. they could air guitar and play to a track, and you know, a lot of people wouldn't care. It's all about the moment and the experience and reliving that, you know, that moment when you heard those songs from growing up. And that's really what kind of counts and matters. Not, you know, let's take it to the stage and who's playing it right. You know, musicianship and integrity and all that. It's a show. It's a show. It's entertainment. But obviously things are going on in the P-Funk camp. Obviously, I guess new management. I'm getting these emails from this Bradford, some kind of some guy with a long name. He keeps saying, George is doing this, George is doing that. I was like, change your name to something funky so we know what the hell is going on. Change your name to something that other than Buford something. Because my God, every time I see that email, the only reason I know to look at it is from prior experience. So, you know how that goes. It's good. So I guess we get a couple months off and then start it over again. It's good. It was really good. It was really good. It was really, really, really good. It was really good. Woke up Sunday, didn't brush my teeth enough, and just get up, grab your stuff, get in the car, and just start driving. Hopefully you'll hit state line by the time you really wake up. Hit Baker, got gas. Kept going. I was home by noon. It's good. It is good. So now, just work a couple weeks. Didn't use too much, didn't use PTO. I only use like an hour and a half of PTO, which is good. Pay time off, vacation time. So I'm stacking that. I'm doing it good so far. When I get back in there, I'm going to put in to have those days off. Unless I go work at my mother's when they play. Go work at my mother's for when they play. Morongo, because she's like an hour away. I didn't go right from there back to her house and then leave from her house and go all the way to San Luis Obispo or whatever, Chumash or whatever. So you've already planned in March. And I also got a plan to go back to Ohio in February. So there's that too. Feels good to get back on the glider. It's been a few days. I've been negligent. I've been negligent and indulgent. So I got to get back on. I got to get myself together. I know what I need to do. I know exactly what I need to do. And it's a little bit of indulgence. And we'll call it good for the soul. We'll call it something like that. Oh my God, this thing says I've been on here for 45 minutes. Is that true? Could that be true? I did 3 miles on this thing. Did I do 45 minutes on this? Well, okay. Anyhow, my name is Jeffy. The sun is out. Feels good. I open up the windows in the bedroom, air this place out. Cooking my grits and my breakfast and my boiled eggs and getting ready to go in here and punch in. I didn't shower or nothing today. I probably could stop right now and shower. And put on some work clothes, but why? I just wear the same clothes. But I did go through my clothes and kind of prune some stuff out again. Got rid of some stuff that I know I'm not going to wear. Made kind of a semi, definitely turn towards the 36s, the smaller clothes. Looking at all the large clothes that I have and putting them towards the back. And some of the large clothes shrunk. So they're like medium and a halves. So they kind of fit kind of nice because you know, some of the mediums are kind of too small, but it just feels good. It just feels good to put on that medium shirt and see how it fit, at least in the front. In the back, it looked kind of funny because of this bulge of stuff here. But we're going to work on that. We're going to work on that. All right, it's 11:34. Been on this thing for 45 minutes. I think I got enough. Let's see how much I got. See how much I got here. Only 5,000 steps. Oh, 6,059. Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that 6,059. I will. I'll take that 6,059. If you don't mind. 11:35. I should stop now. I'm gonna stop now. Give myself more time. So we're gonna yell two times for me, for the funk. A very, very elementary particle that's ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. The totality of it all. A theory of universe. An idea of everything as one. As all. I don't know.